Good evening. Favorite time of year, and it's not just because of the turkey, I just love Thanksgiving. This has been a traditional service we've had every year as we go into the Thanksgiving season. The night before Thanksgiving, we gather together and thank the Lord for the many blessings that we have. We're going to begin by singing a chorus that we all know. I'm going to get you to stand as we sing, "I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. He has made me glad." If you'd all stand.
I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad.
Another opportunity to sing a chorus we've become familiar with. Great Thanksgiving song forever. Remain standing if you would. You sing so much better while you're up. We have plenty of time to sit down later when we have some fellowship in the other room.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For He is good, He is above all things. His love endures forever.
Seated. This time I'd like to read a little Thanksgiving prayer. Dear Father in heaven, please lend me your ear, because I've got a prayer you'll be happy to hear. Lord, there's no request list this time when I pray. I just want to give thanks this Thanksgiving day. First, I want to thank you for gifts from above, your unending mercy, your undeserved love. And thank you for sending your Son down to earth, For now, those in Jesus can have second birth. Lord, thank you for saving your children from hell and giving your Spirit who comes to indwell. And thank you for choosing me to be your own. For now that you're in me, I'm never alone. Lord, thanks for forgiving me when I'm untrue. And last but not least, Father, thank you for you. This time I'd like to ask our brother Tim Martin if he'd open us up in a word of prayer.
Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do give you thanks and praise once again that we can come into your presence. We're all here and able to come into your presence because of the great work that's done on our behalf by the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word that says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter in his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth unto all generations." Thank you, Father, for who you are. Thank you for loving us. We thank you for each other. We thank that we have this family of Christians here. And Father, Christians throughout the world, we call our brothers and sisters. Father, we thank you for each person here, for each family representative. Thank you for your mercy and your grace unto all of us, for all of our needs that you have met, for all those that you will meet. We thank you for everything, even in the bad times. We thank you for those as well. And Father, we ask your blessings upon this meeting tonight as we continue forward, Father. Just continue to lift our hearts in thanksgiving and praise to your name. In the name of the Lord Jesus, for his sake. Amen.
Another opportunity for you to sing tonight. And this is a song that you cannot be seated when you're singing. So before you start grumbling, it's Thanksgiving. Be thankful you can stand, okay? So we're going to stand up and sing my tribute. How can I say thanks for the things you've done for me? You can be seated. Very good. I pray that's wonderful singing. This time, we want to have our brother Jeff Kimmel come up and share us some scripture passages.
Selected scriptures for Thanksgiving 2012. 1 Thessalonians 5, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. For our Lord Jesus Christ left us this example to follow when he said to his disciples in Matthew 15, I have compassion on the multitude. And he took 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks and broke them and gave to a multitude. In another place, we read that Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out. This one who had power over death willingly laid down his life for us, and hours before his crucifixion, he took bread and gave thanks. And broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. In light of such an example, in light of such love, we should be as that Samaritan leper who, when he was cleansed and healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ can give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. For we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, and the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this sound of thanksgiving will roll off the lips of God's people for eternity. For the 7th trumpet will sound in Revelation 11. We hear that there will come loud voices from heaven, which will say the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones will fall down on their faces and worship God, saying, We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. Therefore, in the days that we live, see that we walk carefully, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, which is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
You can go to a lot of places to get poems and stories and readings for Thanksgiving, but you can never do any better than God's holy word. It gives us the greatest examples of Thanksgiving, the greatest reasons to be thankful. So we wanted to start there tonight. This time we're going to have a special Thanksgiving poem by Josh Proctor.
If I had been a pilgrim child among the fields and forests wild, where deer and turkey used to roam, a cabin would have been my home. with fireplace and earthen floor and bearskins hanging at the door, I would have gathered berries bright for candles fragrantly alight, and dug for clams and picked the corn and laid the table smooth and worn, or hunted nuts hard-shelled and good and helped in any way I could. With time to laugh and play and run, when Indian children came for fun, and on the first Thanksgiving day, I would have met with friends to pray and thank the Lord for all his care and keeping us together there.
Thank you, Josh. It's never too young to begin to be thankful. This time, your last opportunity to sing, and I won't make you stand for this one. It's a song that may be a little bit unfamiliar to you, the words, but you're going to recognize the tune. With the praise team's help, I think you'll kick right into this one, and you'll really appreciate the message that it has about Thanksgiving. It's called, In Thanksgiving, Let Us Praise Him. Picked right up on that. This time we have another Thanksgiving reading by Miles Barefoot.
Thanksgiving is a time of gratitude to God, our Creator and Provider, whose guidance and care goes before us, and whose love is with us forever. Thanksgiving is a time to reflect on the changes, to remember what we, too, grow and change from one season of life to another. Thanksgiving is a time of changing seasons, when leaves turn golden and autumns wake and apples are crisp, and the first chill breezes of fall. Let us remember the true meaning of Thanksgiving as we see the beauty of autumn. Let us acknowledge the many blessings which are ours. Let us think of our families and friends, and let us give thanks in our heart.
There's been a lot of talk this year about what our founding fathers intended for this country. And we're going to show a little video presentation that I think shows that we're very far as a nation from where our original founding fathers envisioned us being. We're going to look at a video that shows George Washington's 1782 proclamation for Thanksgiving.
Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor, and whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being, who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which he hath been pleased to confer upon us. And also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to the people, by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness to us, and bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best. Given under my hand at the city of New York the 3rd day of October in the year of our Lord, 1789.
Can you imagine a public official standing up and saying those things today? When we're trying to take God off our money, prayer out of school, isn't it refreshing to look back on what principles our nation was founded? This time, we're going to have some famous Thanksgiving quotes by Patrick Apple.
Apostle Paul stated in 2 Corinthians 9:15, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Abraham Lincoln said, "It seems to me fit and proper that the gifts of God should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged with one heart and one voice by the whole American people." Cicero, "Gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all others." William Shakespeare, "O Lord that lends me life, lend me a heart replete with thankfulness." John F. Kennedy, "As we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them." W. J. Cameron, "Thanksgiving, after all, is a word of action." Charles Dickens, "Reflect upon your present blessings, of which every man has plenty, not on your past misfortunes, of which all men have some." Henry Ward Beecher, "Pride slays thanksgiving, but a humble mind is the soil out of which thanks naturally grow. A proud man is seldom a grateful man, for he never thinks he gets as much as he deserves." Johann A. Gartner. To speak gratitude is courteous and pleasant. To enact gratitude is generous and noble. But to live gratitude is to touch heaven. W.T. Perkiser. Now, what we say about our blessings, but how we use them, not what we say about our blessings, but how we use them is the true measure of our thanksgiving. William Faulkner. Gratitude is a quality similar to electricity. It must be produced and discharged and used up in all order to exist at all. Edward Sanford Martin. Thanksgiving Day comes by statute once a year. To the honest man, it comes as frequently as the heart of gratitude will allow. And finally, William Arthur Ward. Feeling ingratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it at all.
Thank you, Patrick. This time we'll have a special musical selection by Ron and June McKay. Thank you, Ron and June. Since many of you came here early, you may have missed the news, may have missed the weather tonight. So I want to be certain to fill you in on what the Thanksgiving weather is going to be like. This is a Thanksgiving weather forecast. Turkeys will thaw in the morning, then warm in the oven to an afternoon high near 190 degrees Fahrenheit. The kitchen will turn hot and humid, and if you bother the cook, be ready for a severe squall or cold shoulder. During the late afternoon and evening, the cold front of a knife will slice through the turkey, causing an accumulation of 1 to 2 inches on plates. Mashed potatoes will drift across one side while cranberry sauce creates slippery spots on the other. Please pass the gravy. A weight watch and indigestion warning has been issued for the entire area, with increased stuffiness around the beltway. During the evening, the turkey will diminish and taper off to leftovers, dropping to a low of 34 Fahrenheit in the refrigerator. Looking ahead to Friday and Saturday, high pressure to eat sandwiches will be established. Flurries of leftovers can be expected both days, with a 50% chance of scattered soup late in the day. We expect a warming trend where soup develops. By early next week, eating pressure will be low, as the only wish left will be the bone. This time, we've asked our brother Chad Cecil to share with us a little bit about what Thanksgiving means to him.
Good evening. It's good to hear from y'all. And that wonderful singing that we've been having. When Todd called me, I asked him, I said, when he told me to take some time to say a few words of what Thanksgiving means to me, I forgot to ask him, I couldn't remember. He said 5 minutes, but I thought he might have said 2 hours. So if y'all could just bear with me, because when he said that, I thought, man, how do you put that into such a short time? I thought to myself, and I've been thinking about it the last couple of weeks, and I couldn't help but think of what Paul said when he wrote his letters. He always thanked God first. And as our brother read tonight, the scripture he read, as we come into his gates, to the courts, as we give him thanks and sing praise unto him. That's what we've done tonight. We've sang praise to him. We've given him thanks. And when I think of Thanksgiving, I reverse the word giving thanks. First and foremost, we need to thank our God. And that's what it means to me as we come together and to set this time aside, this one time a year, that we set it aside to remember and to give thanks. But I thought to myself, that's one day. I throw a number out, 365, because that's the number of days that we should give thanks, each and every day. As I look through the scripture, searching, looking for verses, anything that come in, as our brother read, and there's tons and tons. But I come across a verse that speaks of giving thanks in the morning. I come across a verse that speaks of giving thanks at midnight. And that's what gave me that number. Each and every day. He makes our days new. We should be giving thanks each and every day. I wrote something down as it hit me during the week. I thought, sounded kind of maybe corny to me, maybe to others. But I thought, myself, I'm thankful for who I am. I'm thankful for who the Lord has made me and has allowed me to be. And I'm also thankful for what I've got. A home. A family. I'm also thankful for what I don't have. Because there are many times that I've wanted things, but he's seen other things that I've needed. And he has steered me other directions. And I am too, and thankful for that. I'm also thankful for who I am not. For many times I thought I wanted to be something else. And wanted to take different paths. But he says, no, you're who you are because I have made you the way you are. And I give him thanks for that. This time of year, as I look back and reflect on what that really means, giving thanks for what we have. And I think of another verse, a passage of scripture that comes to mind as Paul wrote, no matter what state I am or am in, I am content. He says, I have learned to both be full and hungry, but he is content. So I step back and I look at who I am and what I have, who I am not, and what I don't have. And I give thanks to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the love that he showed me on that day at Calvary. When I was on his mind as he hung there on a tree and died for me, shed his blood, that I might have eternal life. Through Jesus Christ. Truly, let's give thanks this time of year as we gather with friends and family. Let's give thanks for what we have. Let's give thanks to the Lord. But it's also, as when it comes Friday, as we've got our weather report, let's still continue to give thanks to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Almighty God, and whom we serve, and who is in control of all things. Thank you.
Thank you, Chad. I had one announcement that Brother Amin asked me to make, and I better do it now or I'll forget it. Saturday morning, it's a great opportunity for you to come and work off some of those leftovers. Deacons are having a work day Saturday morning at 8:30. They're going to be spreading some mulch and doing other things. But Saturday morning at 8:30 here at the chapel, they could use any able bodies that are willing to come and work in that way. This time, we're going to have a special Thanksgiving reading by Nicholas Murphy.
How to observe Thanksgiving. Count your blessings instead of your crosses. Count your joys instead of your losses. Count your joys instead of your woes. Count your friends instead of your foes. Count your smiles instead of your tears. Count your courage instead of your fears. Count your full years instead of your lean. Count your kind deeds instead of your mean. Count your health instead of your wealth. Count on God instead of yourself.
Appreciate that, Nicholas. It seems to be a theme tonight, count your blessings. We heard a beautiful rendition from Ron and June. Well, you're getting the next version of it now as the praise team brings us a special number, count your blessings.
Blessings angels will attend, helping see what God has done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
Amen. Thank you, praise team. We never can count too often the many blessings that God has given us. This time we're going to have a poem by Daniel Murdoch.
Be thankful. Be thankful that you didn't already have everything you desire. If you did, what would there be to look forward to? Be thankful when you didn't know something, for it gives you the opportunity to learn. Be thankful for the difficult times. During those times, you grow. Be thankful for your limitations, because they give you opportunities for improvement. Be thankful for each new challenge, because it will build your strength and character. Be thankful for your mistakes. They will teach you valuable lessons. Be thankful when you're tired and weary, because it means you have made a difference. It's easy to be thankful for the good things. A life of rich fulfillment comes to those who are also thankful for the setbacks. Gratitude can turn a negative into a positive. Find a way to be thankful for your troubles, and they can become your blessings.
Thank you, Daniel. I've asked another brother to come up and spend a little bit of time telling us about Thanksgiving and what it is means to him in his life, our brother Rob White.
Thanks, Chad. You gave me an extra minute. Finished one out of time, G. You were done 4 minutes instead of five. This morning when I was waking up about five-something, came to my mind, I was thinking, trying to remember a Thanksgiving dinner in my mom and dad's house as I was growing up as a boy. And I couldn't recall one time. We did it, we had it, but I couldn't remember one single event, one thing that stood out in my mind. I could remember maybe we had lamb one year, we had duck another year, we had turkey. And those who know me best know I tend to see things, or I think I see things through the glasses of food. I don't look like it, but I'd like to eat. I love to eat. And my mother was a good cook. My wife is a good cook. It's not what I was looking for when I wanted to get married, but God blessed me with a wife that cooks very well. In everything she does, those cupcakes she makes, she's killing me with those cupcakes. She keeps making those things. We went to Charleston. She had to go find this place that sells cupcakes. We had to go down in town here to find a place that sells cupcakes because she wants to try out the competition, see how it does. But anyway, you'll taste them tonight. But I would surmise that the real reason why I don't remember is because we weren't a thankful household. We weren't a Christian home. We weren't a nominal Christian home. We weren't even a fake Christian home. It wasn't part of what we did in my house. It wasn't until I was saved years later that I started to be around other families and I started to see what thankfulness was. Now, my parents loved us. You've heard me talk about. It wasn't an ideal situation to grow up in as a child, the things we went through, but they did the best they could without the Lord in raising us that way. I'm thankful because they gave me boundaries. They gave me morality. And those things the Lord later was able to work through and use in my life as well. It's important to have a home that's thankful. I have a family. I have a wife who's my companion, my partner, my friend, my lover. Every day it gets better and better and better. And I don't say that as cliche. I really mean that. It gets better and better. Now, she might have something else to say about that. But for me, it gets better and better every day. And we set out in our home, like so many of you, to have a home that honors the Lord. We weren't perfect. We're a work in progress. But we wanted to honor the Lord. We had our times. We studied the Word together. We read the Word together. We sang together growing up. And I'm thankful that I see my kids, now Sarah and Dylan, and to see the home they've started because of that. So for me, it's like a second generation in my immediate family to see that come along and see the kind of man Dylan is with my daughter, how he loves her and how he seeks to take care of her and he cherishes her. And I see the kind of home they're starting. I see my sons, and you wondered at one point would it ever go anywhere, you know, would they ever turn out to be anything. But even now, you start to see it as they've gone on, and they're serving the Lord. They love the Lord, and they're serving the Lord as He calls them and the places that He calls them. There's nothing better to me as a father, I guess, with your children, that they would call you up and tell you about some ministry or some things they've been talking about. Laura told me the other day she had talked to one of my sons, and he was taking a class on Revelation in school. He's at Liberty. And I said, so I had to call him up and talk to him about that because eschatology is one of my things. And I said, well, I heard you're studying Revelation, man. We've got some things to talk about. He said, not only Revelation, Dad, but Daniel as well. So it's exciting to me. They come to me. They come to their grandparents. They come and they seek wisdom and they want to talk about it. At times I'm a wiser older brother, but at times we're like just two friends getting together. And I'm thankful for that as well. I'm thankful that where I didn't have a home with my parents, I have a home now that we get together tomorrow. We'll remember that hundreds of years ago, some people left England and went to Holland because they wanted the right to worship the way they wanted to worship according to the scriptures. And they came back and they eventually came here. They were called separatists. We call them pilgrims. I'm so thankful that they came here and they left the legacy behind us. Were they perfect? They weren't perfect. But they left the legacy that first year, how they were able to even get together with those who were different from them and to give God thanks that He provided for them in that first year and those first years as well. I want to read a few scriptures in closing. 107, I won't read the whole thing. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Let me get my thing here because I've lost my place. Hold on a minute here. Verse 21. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. And 31 and 32. Again, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the assembly of the people and praise Him in the company of the elders. That's what we're doing tonight, aren't we? We're declaring and we are exalting the Lord together, aren't we? As the people of God in this local expression of His body. And that's a wonderful thing to do. It's a great thing to do. We're to consider one another. We are challenged by our Lord to love one another. And this is a great thing to be here tonight and to do this and make this a testimony to the community that we're in. Thank you.
I liked all those wonderful things he said about his wife. What y'all didn't know is she was standing in the back door, you know. So there was some added pressure for him to include some of that. So, got a little story I'd like to read you. It's called The Thanksgiving Special. Sandra felt as low as the heels of her Birkenstocks as she pushed against a November gust in the florist shop door. Her life had been easy, like a spring breeze. Then in the fourth month of her second pregnancy, a minor automobile accident stole her ease. During this Thanksgiving week, she would have delivered a son. She grieved over her loss.
As if that weren't enough, her husband's company threatened to transfer. Then her sister, whose holiday visit she coveted, called saying she could not come. What's worse, Sandra's friend infuriated her by suggesting her grief was a God-given path to maturity that would allow her to empathize with others who suffer. Had she lost a child? No, she has no idea what I'm feeling. Sandra shuddered. Thanksgiving? Thankful for what, she wondered. For a careless driver whose truck was hardly scratched when he rear-ended her? For an airbag that saved her life but took that of her child? Good afternoon. Can I help you? The flower shop clerk's approach startled her. Sorry, said Jenny. I just didn't want you to think I was ignoring you. Sandra said, I need an arrangement. For Thanksgiving? Sandra nodded. Do you want beautiful but ordinary? Or would you like to challenge the day with a customer favorite I call the Thanksgiving special? Jenny saw Sandra's curiosity and continued. I'm convinced that flowers tell stories, that each arrangement insinuates a particular feeling. Are you looking for something that conveys gratitude this Thanksgiving? Not exactly, Sandra blurted. Sorry, but in the last 5 months, everything that could go wrong has. Sandra regretted her outburst, but was surprised when Jenny said, I have the perfect arrangement for you. The door's small bell suddenly rang. Barbara, hi, Jenny said. She politely excused herself from Sandra and walked toward a small workroom. She quickly reappeared, carrying a massive arrangement of greenery, bows, and long-stemmed thorny roses. Only the ends of those rose stems were neatly snipped. No flowers. Want this in a box? Jenny asked. Sandra watched for Barbara's response. Was this a joke? Who would want rose stems and no flowers? She waited for laughter, for someone to notice the absence of flowers atop the thorny stems. But neither woman did. Yes, please. It's exquisite, said Barbara. You'd think after 3 years of getting this special, I'd not be so moved by its insignificance, or by its significance. But it's happening again. My family will love this one. Thanks. Sandra stared. Why so normal a conversation about so strange an arrangement, she wondered. Ah, said Sandra, pointing. That lady just left with, yes? Well, she had no flowers. Right, I cut off the flowers. Off? Off, yep, that's the special. I call it the Thanksgiving Thorns Bouquet. But why do people pay for that? In spite of herself, she chuckled. Do you really want to know? I couldn't leave this shop without knowing. I'd think about nothing else. That might be good, said Jenny. Well, she continued, Barbara came into the shop 3 years ago, feeling very much like you feel today. She thought she had very little to be thankful for. She had lost her father to cancer, the family business was failing, her son was into drugs, and she faced major surgery. Ouch, said Sandra. That same year, I lost my husband. I assumed complete responsibility for the shop and for the first time spent the holidays alone. I had no children, no husband, no family nearby, and too great a debt to allow any travel. Well, what did you do? I learned to be thankful for the thorns. Sandra's eyebrows lifted. Thorns? I'm a Christian, Sandra. I've always thanked God for the good things in life, and I never thought to ask Him why good things happened to me. But when bad stuff hit, did I ever ask? It took time to learn that dark times are important. I always enjoyed the flowers of life, but it took thorns to show me the beauty of God's comfort. You know, the Bible says that God comforts us when we're afflicted, and from His consolation, we learn to comfort others. Sandra gasped. A friend read that passage to me, and I was furious. I guess the truth is I don't want comfort. I've lost a baby, and I'm angry with God. She started to ask Jenny to go on when the door's bell diverted their attention again. Hey, Phil, shouted Jenny as a balding, rotund man, sounds much like myself, entered the shop. She softly touched Sandra's arm and moved to welcome him. He tucked her under his side for a warm hug. I'm here for 12 thorny long stems, Phil laughed heartily. I figured as much, said Jenny. I've got them ready. She lifted a tissue-wrapped arrangement from the refrigerated cabinet. Beautiful, said Phil. My wife will love them. Sandra could not resist asking, these are for your wife? Phil saw that Sandra's curiosity matched his when he first heard of a thorn bouquet. Do you mind me asking why thorns? In fact, I'm glad you asked, he said. 4 years ago, my wife and I nearly divorced. After 40 years, we were in a real mess, but we slogged through problem by rotten problem. We rescued our marriage, our love, really. Last year at Thanksgiving, I stopped in here for flowers. I must have mentioned surviving a tough process because Jenny told me that for a long time she kept a vase of rose stems as a reminder of what she had learned from thorny times. That was good enough for me. I took home stems. My wife and I decided to label each one for a specific thorny situation and give thanks for what the problem taught us. I'm pretty sure this stem review is becoming a tradition. Phil paid Jenny, thanked her again as he left, and said to Sandra, I highly recommend the special. I don't know if I can be thankful for thorns in my life, Sandra said to Jenny. Well, my experience says that thorns make roses more precious. We treasure God's providential care more during trouble than at any other time. Remember, Sandra, Jesus wore a crown of thorns so that we might know his love. Do not resent thorns. Tears rolled down Sandra's cheeks. For the first time since the accident, she loosened her grip on resentment. I'll take 12 long-stemmed thorns, please. I hoped you would, Jenny said. I'll have them ready in a minute. Then every time you see them, remember to appreciate both good and hard times. We grow through both. Thank you. What do I owe you? Nothing. Nothing but a pledge to work towards healing your heart. The first year's arrangement is always on me. Jenny handed a card to Sandra. I'll attach a card like this to your arrangement, but maybe you'd like to read it first. Go ahead, read it. My God, I have never thanked thee for my thorn. I have thanked thee 1,000 times for my roses, but never once for my thorn. Teach me the glory of the cross I bear. Teach me the value of my thorns. Show me that I have climbed to thee by the path of pain. Show me that my tears have made my rainbow. Jenny said, Happy Thanksgiving, Sandra, handing her the special. I look forward to knowing each other, to our knowing each other better. Sandra smiled. She turned, opened the door, and walked towards Hope. As has been a tradition, we close this service with Bless This House. You know it's me. It's that time every year. Somehow Martin still asked me to do this. I don't know, but we always have Kathleen Freeman sing that. She's been a little under the weather, and in her absence, we've asked a family member, Mr. Greg Whittemore, to sing Bless This House.
Bless the folk who dwell within.
Thank you all for being here. I hope this is your best Thanksgiving ever. Fun doesn't end now. We've had a great time of fellowship in here and being of reflection and reminders of what Thanksgiving is all about. And we just pray that our hearts will just go out of here with that same attitude and take it into our homes tomorrow. I'm going to ask our brother Mark if he will just commend us to the Lord in prayer and also give thanks for the refreshments, which are back in the KFC room, I think. Mark?
Pray. Father, we come humbled before you tonight as we've been reminded of the many, many blessings. Father, these are all of your grace, undeserved, unearned, but Father, poured out abundantly from you, the Father of blessings. And we thank you for how you have ministered your goodness to us in material ways. Father, we pray for those who are not as fortunate as we are in that, and lift them up to you. We thank you, Father, for how you have ministered to us emotionally, Father, relationally. And Lord, we know that all of these would be nothing had it not been for your ministry to us spiritually and pouring out every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places upon us in Christ. We thank you for your Son, indescribable one, whom you have given to come and to live among us and to die for us, to be raised again and ascended to your right hand. Father, we thank you that he's there enthroned tonight. And we thank you that we can, as it were, join with all heaven in praising and thanking him. Lord, we pray that in our individual hearts and our families and we as an assembly, that our appreciation, our gratitude will deepen as a result of being here tonight. And it will overflow, Father, from this place and from our hearts and from our lips. We pray that we might be shining lights in this world in which we live. We thank you for the refreshments that have been provided for us. We look forward to sharing those together. We commend ourselves and one another into your hands, giving you thanks, our Father, in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.